Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Welcome in, welcome in, welcome in, everybody. It is Wednesday morning, the 23rd. Happy birthday to my mother. God bless you. It's a good day. Broncos on the winning train again, and good vibes with the Broncos. It seems to be people are really starting to take notice. Scott, I don't know if you kind of take – I don't take too much stock in power rankings, but it's kind of fun to see at the same time when you're not constantly last. And Denver's in there. You know, DVOA has them as the 10th best team in football. That's not just power ranking. That's a mathematical model. You have NFL Network, I believe, had them at 12th, ESPN, like 14th or stuff. So Denver – if the season ended right now, they'd be in the playoffs and a team. We're going to find out just how far defense, special teams, and a run game can take an offense or a team this season. We'll see how that formula holds in a pretty weak middle to bottom tier of the AFC. So Denver's got a chance. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And yeah, the arrow's headed in the right direction, which, you know, coming into this season, your expectations are improvement. I want to improve. I want to see direction. Well, you're seeing it right now. And because the direction is pretty clear, you're also seeing, okay, I've got some obvious holes that I need to fill to get better. So I've got some definite priorities that I can address in the offseason rather than just being, God, I just need to get good players. You know, we got holes everywhere. I need to try and get whoever, wherever, however I can, where it's like, no, tackle needs to be sorted. You know, we can get into that too, which we have. And then I need some playmakers. My next investment for this team around my young quarterback, went and got my quarterback. I already built the offensive line. Defense is playing great. I need some weapons. That'll be the next. And you see those go hand in hand, Nick. It's usually we drafted a quarterback. Well, then we drafted a left tackle and a wide receiver. It's pretty standard operating procedure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a – good to see the Broncos, you know, feisty right now. I mean, you and I both went through the preseason, and maybe after this Carolina game, we can predict the rest of the schedule here. But we had Denver finishing 6-11, I believe, overall, which was over the Vegas totals. But we're only two wins away from reaching that with 10 games to go. So Denver obviously outperforming our expectations. Mm-hmm. And again, it's worth just saying again, it's the offense is what it is. You know, it's always going to be a little bit rough early on. I think it's a little rougher than I thought, although the last game is what I had hoped for this season. You know, taking your quarterback off the high dive and leaning into your offensive line and run game and utilizing the quarterback's legs, who Nick's is a far better athlete than I thought it would translate to the NFL. It's one thing to do it against, you know, even SEC defenses and obviously Pac-12 defenses, but then to see him running away from edge defenders and linebackers in the NFL, that's a doesn't always translate, even if you were the number one dual threat quarterback. So good to see. And yeah, we got a feisty team down the stretch here, Scott. You know, I was a little skeptical of Sean Payton saying, you know, the next time he coaches a team that only wins six games, it'd be the first. And I was like, well, you haven't had a team with the most dead cap hit and only, I think, seven top 100 picks or six top 100 picks in the last 3 years and only one first round pick in the last 3 years, which is a rookie quarterback. That doesn't help you so much immediately. But here we are, a feisty team. I'm not ready to say playoffs. Obviously, if they can hang versus on the road at Baltimore, at Kansas City, I'll be ready to say it. Even if they lose, I might be ready to say it. But I'm so pleased with the direction of this team right now. It's vastly outperforming my expectations.
Real quick, and I want to get to Troy, is y'all know that Nick and I also do the Falcons podcast, and the Falcons went through this a couple years ago where they took on a bunch of dead money. Arthur Smith was a rookie coach coming in and fought, clawed, scraped his way with a bunch of veterans coming off of practice squads and stuff to 7 wins. And I thought it was a fantastic coaching job to get 7 wins from that team. Then when they came out of it, the narrative was, okay, can he do more with more? You don't have that question with Sean Payton. We know he can win with a talented roster. We know he can take do more than just scrape together 7 or 8 wins with a ragtag bunch by keeping games close and winning ugly. We know he has upside. We know Sean Payton has upside. Troy Brewer's got upside for us. He says, feels like we have to start fast to suck the life out of them, the Panthers, that is. Or it could be a trap game. Do we have anyone coming off IR in the next couple of weeks? Have a great show. Better already, Troy. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Troy. 999 is great. As far as do we have anyone coming off IR the next few weeks, I think your big ones were McGlinchey and Browning, and they're off IR. I'm not even sure if anybody else qualifies in the short-term IR off the top of my head. Palchetsky, I don't think he actually ended up on IR, and I'm guessing he'll probably be available, if not this week, then the following week, but he's a backup. So
Henningsen, did he go IR?
You mean Wattenberg?
Yes.
No, he did not. He was, I think, even available.
Henningsen, Hennessy, Wattenberg, and I knew I was going to screw that up. Yes. Your center, the starting center, Wattenberg. I've already forgotten.
Yeah, Wattenberg. I don't think he ended up going on IR. I know he didn't, because there was a question last week, but I thought Forsyth showed enough in the run game, which I believe is the bread and butter of your offense, that I would lean with him. The one thing is, Scott, I just don't know exactly who is in charge of protections up front when you have a young center on top of a rookie quarterback, and typically it's one of those two. So if you feel a lot safer with the calls and protections and handling protections with Wattenberg than Forsyth, you probably have to go with the steadiness there, not to put even more on Bo Nix's plate, who is a little antsy right now in the pass game. I don't want to put more on his plate with the protections as well if he's not already handling that. So that's the one thing there. But on tape, I thought Forsyth's impact in the run game was definitely more of a benefit than we have seen from Wattenberg there. But that's about it. I mean, you're not getting back Singleton. You're not getting back, some of the Quinn Bailey's not coming back. So I can't think of, Reynolds. Reynolds ended up going on IR. He's out, though, right now. He should be out for another
2 weeks,
three games. So yeah, I believe, yeah. I think the game versus, he got hurt versus the Chargers, and they put him on IR. So Reynolds won't be available until the Falcons game. So that's a ways off yet. But, I mean, opportunities for Franklin, Vele, tight ends, running backs. I mean, they're going to have to figure it out. This is a team that, when you have so few top 100 picks in recent drafts and all the dead cap hit you have, you're going to have to scrape out there. And Denver is not scraping and scrapping for us today, helping us with the super chats. $5 from Lawrence, one of our favorites, says, good morning, guys. Just stopping to say hi and give a shout out to my 4-year-old son, Ashton, or 4-year-old Ashton, could be daughter. Happy birthday to my son. Oh, there we go. Who will be doing something today. Yeah, happy 4-year-old birthday. Gave a shout out to my mom earlier as well. So October 23rd, good day for sure. And happy birthday to Ashton. Make sure you guys in the chat give a happy birthday to Ashton as well.
Yeah, another good day can be a good day with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least 2 players for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. Check it out.
Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, so your lineups stay in place even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks keeps your lineup live. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Join over 10 million users and sign up today. If you sign up today, you get $50 instantly when you just play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed.
Download the app today and use code MILEHIGH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the Prize Picks app today. Use code MILEHIGH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup all season long.
Yeah, thanks, Prize Picks. And I want to say hello to some people in the chat. Obviously, get to our star givers first, but not you don't have to be giving stars, although it's greatly appreciated if you don't. And also make sure you guys click a thumbs up on the ways. And Jeremy Sean says, morning, boys, need to take care of business against Carolina and head into a tough stretch with confidence. Yeah, this is definitely going to be the next, after the Carolina game, probably the toughest three-game stretch of the Broncos this season. I mean, it'd be impossible not to, right, if you have back-to-back road games against Baltimore and Kansas City, two of the three best teams in the AFC, and Baltimore just looks insane right now offensively. Lamar Jackson, another five-touchdown game. I mean, that's going to be – Denver will be a touchdown underdog in that one probably, and not because Denver is, you know, the worst team in the NFL, but Baltimore looks pretty unbelievable. And what's the weakness of this Broncos defense, Scott? It's the run D. They're not terrible there, but that's the one area that they can get got a little bit. Their EPA per play, they're only 12th in, 16th in rush EPA per play. And Baltimore, with what they're doing with Lamar and Derrick Henry's tough. But to that point, that's the one area in this Panthers game, Scott, that could be a determining factor. I don't know who it was said, get ahead early. And, Troy says get ahead early and suck the life out of them. The one area of this game that could make it interesting, in my opinion, is that Carolina, for as bad as they've been overall, the offensive line and the run game for Carolina has been pretty good. They have something there with Chuba Hubbard out there and Bryce Young. If you go back and watch Bryce Young early, you kind of understand how much quarterback is impacting blocking, because the offensive line is playing their butts off and Bryce Young is just horrific in clean pocket and whatnot. And they changed the quarterback and all of a sudden, oh, wow, the quarterback needs to play in a symbiotic relationship with the offensive line. Who knew? But the Panthers, second worst EPA per play in football in the pass offense, but they're 10th in rush EPA, Scott. So the Broncos' biggest weakness on defense, stopping the run, versus a top 10 EPA per play rushing attack with the Panthers. Everything else favors Denver. That's the one area where if Denver falls behind and they let the Panthers run on them, it could be a game. I'm not predicting that, but that's the one area where it's like Denver better take away the run.
Yeah, happy birthday, Ashton. He says Lawrence says he loved it. So happy birthday, and I appreciate you trying to coach speak this thing. It could be dangerous. It could be, and it could be, it could be, but the Panthers get to run the ball because you're basically inviting them. I don't know. They're so bad, Nick.
Yeah,
I really have a hard time looking at this team and thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to hang my hat on. That they can beat you. No, don't beat yourselves, okay? Don't go out there and get cute. I don't need to see a flea flicker on the first play. I don't need to see trick plays out there. I don't need to see fake punts. I need to see basic fundamental, run it at them, play defense, special teams, football, pick your spots in the passing game, and you win by three touchdowns. It's don't overthink this one. Trust your defense on this one. Don't be in a giving mood like Mike Givens. Mike Givens is given, and we certainly appreciate the support. Mike, you're a real one. He's like, I don't really even need the attention. I got nothing to say. I just want to support the show. That's pretty special, dude. So thank you so much for looking out for us on Monday and Wednesday mornings. It truly means a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mike. We got Aaron Wagner coming in, says, morning. Let's just say Denver beats Carolina, then steals one from the Chiefs, one from the Chargers, and goes 10-7 this season. Should they still be stockpiling draft picks or be aggressive to acquire a tight end or wide receiver at the deadline? If Denver wins the next two games, they go into Baltimore and win, and they're sitting there at 6-3. I think that you should at least, you know, look in the market for wide receiver, tight end, running back. Now, nothing that is, you know, we had Alvin Kamara just sign an extension. He's off the table. Out there and whatnot, but I mean, I still think you need to know where you are.
An extension,
but it probably makes him not tradable, right? It's an extension, but it takes him off the trade table this season. I think
not really, because the dead cap is still the same. I don't think he's going to get traded anymore. Okay, flat out, because the money isn't right. The Saints are paying him more than you would want to pay him, and he's older. Okay, but all it did was push more of their dead cap. It didn't change the dead cap number in a trade. What it does was extend dead cap into 2026. It just kicked the can down the road. It changed the finances of the Saints. If you were to try and get him, it would cost them the same amount in dead cap. So they're manipulating the cap, and all those guys are getting old, and people say, oh, the salary cap doesn't matter. The hell it doesn't. How are the Saints look this year after putting all that stuff on layaway? The Saints are a dumpster fire right now, and they're broke. The only way they're making money is extending. They're getting any money back is extending 30-year-old players. That's not a winning formula, y'all.
No.
On this real quick. Sorry, Nick, for the big interruption, but the I don't think they were getting them before, but the extension doesn't really change that. It just changes the salary cap number for him in the coming years. It guaranteed his money. If you, because this says if Denver beats Carolina, you're 5-3. Now he's saying you steal one from the Chiefs, so that's 5-4 to going into the Chiefs game, and you win that one, you're 6-4. If you are 6-4 after the Chiefs game, I'm going to be pissed if you finish only 10-7. So yes, you should be thinking, hey, we got something here. You're 10-7 might not be enough for what you're doing if you come out of that this next stretch 6-4.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, one game at a time, right? Not to be too cliche, but Denver's got to take care of business versus Carolina. We got David Youngkin says, good morning. Not feeling well. Could be a trap game. Have a great show. I just think defense, special teams, and run game, you're going to have a baseline every game. Now, you're still pretty volatile and a ways off in the pass game. You have been explosive in the pass game. I think part of that is just the how you're calling the offense as well and the chunk plays that you're able to get in the low volume down the field stuff that you're drawing up. But it's still, yeah, they should have a baseline there. We got Ian also says, good morning.
Real quick, Nick, because okay. I've been meaning to make this point and I keep forgetting. The trap game thing. Okay. Looking on the schedule, you know what helps with the trap game? Avoiding the trap game, the mini bye. Okay. You're not coming off this huge emotional victory and turning around and playing in 6 days. You've had time to get that out of your system and get back to work and get and focus on business. So that helps alleviate any trap game concerns is the fact that you're itching to get back out there. You're playing well. You've had a little extra time off. You're getting some guys with some bumps and bruises healthier. And you're wanting to get back out there and whoop some butt. It's not a trap game. It's if you lose, it's because you beat yourself and you didn't play well. And it won't have anything to do with, oh, we were looking forward. No. You're looking forward to this game because you haven't played in 10 days.
And also how good you were feeling after that last one. Should be looking your chops a little bit, but they're still a professional team. Things can happen. But yeah, we got Ian saying, talking about Hopkins traded to the Chiefs. They gave up a 5th-round pick. Hopkins is kind of, you know, a downfield slam dunk artist, but he's not separating great. Never been a great separator, but now he's even less explosive down the field. Granted, Chiefs' room is horrific at wide receiver, so he will help them, but I don't think he's going to make a huge difference for them. I don't know. It's going to change their dynamic, though, for sure. I still wonder how they're going to operate their middle of the field stuff because they always loved like Travis Kelce, that big power slot. Then they transitioned to Rashid Rice, who was starting to get more of those Kelce looks. That's not Hopkins. That's not Worthy. So I'm curious to see what it looks like for them. Should help them, but I don't think it's a massive needle mover for the Chiefs. It's still a team that their bread and butter is going to be the defense with the inside run game. And Mahomes making plays here and there, but not overly explosive. And I don't think Hopkins is going to make them all of a sudden look like the Chiefs of 3 or 4 years ago.
Monica says, I thought you guys were no longer doing Wednesdays. Did I miss something? Yes, it was just last Wednesday because you had a Thursday game and we wanted to do the after on Friday. Last week, we moved Wednesday to Friday. That's all. That's all that was. We didn't need to do a second preview for a short week. Instead, we wanted to do the reaction to the win on Friday morning. So we moved Wednesday to Friday last week. Yep. And that's just a one-time thing. Just a one-time thing. But that's why we always say, make sure you're hitting that like and subscribe so you get alerts. In case we change up the schedule and we go live, and you're like, bing, what's going on? Oh, wait, it's Friday. Why are they live? Yep. So make sure you hit that subscribe button on that. Also want to make sure we said hello to Michael. I think we did, but in case we didn't, never hurts to say it twice. Good morning, Michael. He says, good morning, Nick and Scott on Broncos for Breakfast. Go Bo Broncos. Appreciate you, Michael. And then Naj coming in. He says, hey, brothers, a challenge for Sean Payton is maintaining the desperation this team has played with outside of the first half against the Chargers, and can't get caught up in the press clippings, you know, skyrocketing up those DVOA power rankings that Nick mentioned. Just focus on improving week to week. And again, Nosh, we're on the same page here. I think the mini buy helps with that. It helps with that. These guys are anxious to get back out there again.
Yeah, my concern about the mini buy and the Panthers stuff is that I feel like the way this Panthers team has played against Marcus Mariota last week, you do have – there is a trap game aspect, I think, to a certain extent, because you're looking ahead to the proving grounds the next 2 weeks versus Baltimore and Kansas City. Nobody expects you to win those games. And it feels like we just take care of business, Carolina, be fine. So I'm not as worried about that with Sean Payton, but this is not a veteran team. It's still a pretty young team overall. So there is risk to that. I mean, the bad formula for this game is, you know, the Carolina scores early. You have a terrible turnover early as well. And all of a sudden you're down two scores out of the gate. I think, yeah, you beat yourselves. More likely to happen with Carolina, but there's, I mean, it's an NFL team. This isn't, you know, Georgia versus the Citadel out here, right? You're not just going to overwhelm them with, you know, like a varsity team versus middle school. It's just, that's kind of what Georgia Citadel feels like.
Have you seen the Panthers?
I have seen the Panthers, and they are bad, but they're still an NFL team.
I know. I'm teasing.
So, yeah, thank you so much, Naj. Yeah,
you know what else I've seen, Nick? I've seen Manscaped. Hey, everyone. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience it?
Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precision and style every time. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using our code HUDDLE for 20% off plus free shipping.
Get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. And this isn't just for the fellas. Remember, the holidays are coming too, y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to say a little more folks in here. Good morning from Brookland, Official Music. Glenda Lee in here over up from Twitter. Good to see you. 69 Skater Mike. Good to see you. Morning, gents. Keith Brugman. First time in years, we may not be labeled sellers at the deadline, but are we buyers? I think Denver's, still fighting this cold, the end of it. I think they're somewhat buyers. Now, if you lose Carolina and Baltimore and you're sitting there at 4-5, maybe you talk about like a DJ Jones or a Baron Browning, you know, guys who are probably not back, that maybe you get a jump start on the return on investment from free agency out there. Maybe even something shocking like Garrett Bowles. If you lose against the Panthers and then get smacked against Baltimore, I think there's a conversation to be had there. But I think you're more likely to add a cheap, kind of like what the Chiefs did, late day three pick to bring in a running back or a tight end just to add some, raise the floor of the offense and help Bo Nix out a little bit. But I'm not overly concerned or aggressive at the trade deadline right now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's too many guys that you would want to move on from. And coming out of this, I mean, I think worst case, you're looking at 5-5. Worst case, you're looking at 5-4 at the deadline is the way I see it. If you split, you're 5-4 at the deadline. You're not sellers at that point. And will the Broncos try and add? I don't consider a late pick swap, a 7th for a 6th for some back end of the roster guy, a deadline deal. Will the Denver Broncos make a move that would look like, oh yeah, this was a deadline deal? No, I don't think so. And frankly, most teams don't. That's just the way it goes. The Broncos have in the last couple of years with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, those were pretty big deals. Were the two of the bigger deals around the NFL. So I don't expect a move that, let's say if it happened in September, it would raise any more eyebrows than it does at the beginning of November. But again, I lean that way every year anyway, period, because most deals don't happen. But the way the Broncos are set up, you're on a positive track. You don't want to sell. There's nobody that you feel like you need to get rid of that's an impact type player that would fetch you any kind of decent return. But you're not one player away. We're willing to give up a day one draft pick next year Anything day three, that's just a normal deal. I don't consider that any kind of deadline deal, Nick.
Yeah, I think you're talking about like a non-big wave move that still can help your roster out.
That happens anytime, any week. I don't consider that a deadline move.
Yeah, I hear you. The one I was going to point to is, do you remember the Seahawks made a move last week when all the big receiver moves moving on? Seahawks trade a 6th-round pick in 2026 for a defensive lineman from the Jags, Roy Robertson Harris. I think that's kind of the
that's
caliber.
That's just a standard move. Those happen all year long.
Yep. And that's, I think, like,
if it happened, you know, on November 4th, it's a deadline deal. No, it's not. That's just the
deal.
Come
on, Scott. We need the headlines. What else are you going to do? What else? How are people going to click? I think that for tight end, maybe Cole's getting out there more, but he's still just not a very good blocker. Maybe has a chance to take the bigger role here this season, but you know, somebody really cheap. You're talking about giving like a 2026 seventh round pick for like Austin Hooper. You know, who's somebody who's like, he's not great. It's like you're essentially copying Adam Trautman, but like, hey, now you can actually run 12 personnel with another inline blocker, something that Peyton really wants to do. So I think those are the type of moves you're talking about, but we'll see. Benjamin Flores, Morning Men, saw PFF had Denver ranked 7th overall. Seems generous. Yeah, very generous. I don't know where that was. If that was just their straight up power rankings, but I wouldn't put Denver there yet. I'd probably have Denver somewhere from like 16 to 12 right now.
Yeah, it feels like, though, I go right up the top of my head, I go Ravens, Chiefs, Lions. After that, there's a lot of good, but not great, all the way down to like 15. So basically after that, if you mix up any kind of order you want to, I've got an argument to make.
I would probably take, you didn't mention Minnesota. I would take,
I like Minnesota. I don't think they're, and maybe it's just we all have biases. I told you that before. There's no such thing as unbiased. Bias is what makes us who we are. Makes up our personality. I know I don't think Sam Darnold is the answer. I'm biased. Despite how he's playing this year, I have a bias against Sam Darnold that think that any team that he's playing on is not a legitimate contender.
I trust Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson.
I'm biased towards him too. So those might cancel each other out. I'm just not a believer in Sam Darnold. I never have been.
Yeah, I would take Minnesota or Denver right now, Buffalo, even though Houston's been
Playing pretty good football.
Yeah, I mean,
I probably did put Buffalo 4. We do rankings on SI, and I probably did put Buffalo 4th.
Yeah, Houston, Green Bay, I'd put over Denver as well. Probably take the Bears over Denver, whose defense is just as good as Denver, and their offense is much more multiple, and Caleb Williams is starting to emerge. And they have a pretty easy stretch of games coming up. Probably Philly as well. I mean, Denver somewhere, you know, 12th to 14, I think is a good spot for them right now. And we're going to find out, guys, right? That's why we play the games.
Hold on. See, I'm talking out of my hiney here because I don't have it in front of me. Baltimore's damn good too. So here's how I voted them. I voted Kansas. When I turned them in, I went Kansas City, Detroit, Baltimore, Buffalo, Minnesota, Green Bay. And then I feel like after Minnesota is where that next tier is, because I think Minnesota is above Green Bay, Houston, San Francisco, Washington Commanders, Pittsburgh Steelers, Eagles, Tampa Bay, Bears, Seahawks, Falcons, Cowboys, Chargers, Broncos. They're all kind of in there together.
Yeah, and that's why we like tiers too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, why do you have Dallas above them? I probably have the Broncos over Dallas right now. They're circling the drain. Here or there. Mr. Roush, good to see you. Chase Wellner in the house. Always great to see you, buddy. Jess Canatti, morning, guys. Awesome to see you. We got, you're a casual. I love that. Chiefs really got D-Hop. Yeah, I don't think it's a huge deal. They gave up a 5th that could become a 4th. I mean, it's kind of like one of those ones where
they're going to be really tough to beat now.
Yeah. I mean, it does help them. No doubt. But
I'm
don't
teasing.
Think
it's like they're already tough to beat.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt them any.
It's kind of like in Madden where like a player is held on to way too long and it's like, wow, you still have this player who was actually good 4 years ago ranked as a 88. It's like he's probably a 76 now, but he has, you know, that pull. He'll be fine. But this is not the Hopkins of 5 years ago. So I'm not overly worried. And they're operating on a different timeline. They're in their window right now. This Denver team is arriving early. You know, when the pilot comes in, it's like, hey, we got some tailwinds. We're going to be arriving at the terminal 20 minutes earlier than expected. Yeah, that's...
Wait till they make a bigger trade for Cooper Kupp.
Deanna Rossini said that Chiefs were close to getting Kupp, but they were not as interested in taking on as much money as the Rams wanted them to, and not as interested in giving up as high of a pick as the Rams wanted. So
Mahomes might kick back $10 million to get Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
He's send it to State Farm. Send it to State Farm and bring me Cooper Kupp. Send the bill to my agent.
Yeah, without a doubt. Money more. Talking about the draft as well. It's a really good tight end draft. It's a really good running back draft as well. So I understand wanting to wait. But if you're talking like giving up a 2026 seventh round pick to bring in somebody, they can't give up the 2026 six because I think you gave that up for John Franklin Myers. How do I know that? I don't know. You're talking about just kind of somebody rounding out the room right now to help you for a very low probability hit type of piece. So I think just because you bring in a guy like that at running back or tight end this season to round it out doesn't mean that keeps you from taking the position again in the draft.
Couple of things. I want to give Nick his props on this one because he's always talking about the slower development of tight ends. There's a guy out there that we were talking about a couple years ago from Colorado who got off to a really slow start, who looks pretty darned good right now, Nick, is Trey McBride. Yeah, yep. McBride is playing. And it's like you draft a guy, don't expect a ton from him. The good news is the bar is really low. So he could come in and have a nice impact pretty soon with the Broncos and then develop. But yeah, it's not like they haven't tried. Use a third round pick on Greg Dulcich. A third rounder is a premium pick if you use it on a non-premium position. Running back, tight end, interior offensive line and safety. A day two pick on one of those spots, you're expecting an impact player. Dulcich has just been a miss.
Yeah, he's it's too bad because apparently he was pretty good in camp, but you know, what can you do? That's camp is not the same as actual football.
Nick, I want to make sure you don't miss your chance to save a whole lot of money on wireless with Mint Mobile. The big wireless providers, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Yeah, keeping it going here, keeping it rolling. We got Alex Renya coming in, says, good morning from Texas. Reyna, yes.
Yeah, are you sure you're not dyslexic?
I might be. I think I am with numbers. Like when I'm punching in the calculator, I'll get it wrong. Also, it's one of my biggest pet peeves in the world, Scott, is that your phone number pad is flipped from a calculator one. You ever notice that? Like the phone is 1, 2, 3, 4. And then when you actually go to a calculator, it has the 9 up front. It's different than a phone, but drives me insane. My TI-84? I hated that.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I guess I don't ever dial on the phone anymore. So whenever I'm like pretending to dial somebody, I'm using a calculator.
Yeah, no, they have different
layouts. I still remember phone numbers from when I was like 12 years old. Don't know my daughter's phone number now, but I remember, you know, my best friends in middle school's phone number.
A quick little side story. I know people aren't here for this, but same thing here. The old landline. And my buddy had a phone number whose first four digits were 3911. And I didn't hit the 3 hard enough. I was probably, you know, 6 years old. And I dialed 911 and it was like, 911, what's your emergency? Panic, hang up. My dad's trying to get on AOL dial up so they can't call. And 5 minutes later, we have 6 cop cars out front of our house. Did you call 911? I thought I was going to jail. I was like, oh man, I messed up so bad. I'm sorry.
If I had known how little trouble I'd actually get in for things that I thought was going to be end of the world, I would have gotten in a lot more trouble as a kid.
Yeah. As far as trading for a tight end, Denver is going to make calls on tight ends. I'm sure Lucas Kroll is going to have a chance to have a say on that, though, these next few games. So we'll see. I don't think that, you know, maybe you make a move for David Njoku But as was mentioned earlier, this is a good tight end class coming up as well. So maybe you just kind of let your young guys out there. This is a, even though Denver's, you know, very competitive right now, playoff competitive, not Super Bowl competitive. It's still a evaluate, sink or swim development season for a lot of these young guys on offense. So again, the short-term rental, maybe for just some competency on offense out of 12 personnel. I will say, Scott, if you're talking about big moves, I'm at least like calling the Jets about Garrett Wilson and calling the Saints about Chris Olave, just because.
Why do people think Garrett Wilson is available, who's been a star for them?
Because Aaron Rodgers is weird. Because he
Aaron Rodgers, right, this will be his last year in New York.
I think it sounds like he's going to be back next year.
I think you got a better chance of keeping Garrett Wilson than you do Aaron Rodgers in 2025. But
the only reason is because there's weirdness in the Jets, and it's just like, hey, are you
you just answered it, because it's the Jets, Scott.
Yeah, there's some. Oh, weirdness.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, it's not probable, but I like Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave coming out than any wide receiver in this upcoming class. So it's like, that's the type of move, Scott, that it would take for me to like make a deadline.
Right, move. That's a deal. That is an absolute deal. Yeah. Those are big time players.
And I'm talking first round pick. Yes. Chris Olave is weird because of the concussion. So I am not a neurologist. I can't speak to that, but
that was an, he's unbelievable. I would be shocked if he was, they didn't flag it. He had to have gotten fined for that hit.
I think that's his fourth concussion.
Oh, is it really?
Playing career. Cause he had one at Ohio State and he's had one every year in the NFL so far. So that scares me, but the talent level, that's kind of the one that you're talking about a big move. But as far as like tight end, running back, you're talking very small kind of move. But we got Miguel Santa-Steven says, sup, fellas, Broncos need to keep the vision of one game at a time and they'll be just fine. Yeah, absolutely. We do want to talk a little bit more about this Panthers team, Scott. This is as we talked about, this is a bad team. I don't know if they're the worst team in the NFL. First, we got Diego Alonso with the, is that the One Piece logo there? Whatever it is. Looks like it's a heart.
Showing us some love.
Yeah, God bless you.
It's hard to tell because it's literally smaller than my fingernail on this screen on this. We get the message, though. Love you too, brother. Thank you so much for the support.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Diego. Bama X.
And I had the Cleveland Browns as the worst team before. While they were putting Deshaun Watson out there, the Cleveland Browns were the worst team in football.
They might be better now.
I'm telling you. At least someone will go out there and try. Deshaun Watson was... Until I saw the injury, I just read about it first. I'm like, well, this is BS. I'm like, this is the excuse to put him on IR and you know, it's a PR move. And then I saw the injury. I'm like, okay, he actually is hurt. But they'll be a better team without Deshaun Watson, because that dude just flat out didn't want to play football anymore at all.
Yeah. It was rough, no doubt. Bama X, good to see you in here. I want to say hello to you. XX Nil says tight end can take 3 years to cultivate. I mean, there have been like Bowers immediate hit, Sam Laporta immediate hit, but you're just in general, Scott, tight end play is way down across the league. Like, you're not getting a lot of output from the tight end position in general. So again, that's why I want somebody with a baseline that can like block, forget the tight ends who are, you know, glorified wide receivers, just put in the goddamn wide receiver. If that's the case, why would you do that? But
well, leading tight end this year, for yards,
it's Bowers.
Oh, that's rushing yards, dummy.
It's Bowers.
I'm like, why did it take me so long to get to Bowers? Because you clicked on rushing yards, and he still showed up under rushing yards. Yeah. Jatavion Sanders has 150. He was a fourth-round pick. Mm-hmm. Theo Johnson, a guy we really, really liked, he's third. He was a fourth-round pick. Eric All, he's fourth with 100 yards. He was a fourth-round pick. So, again, when we talk about, you know, premium position, you took a shot on Greg Dulcich. Just to this point, it hasn't worked out. Sam Laporta had 1,100 yards in 2 years. Unfortunately, this is cumulative. It's not just one season. When I look at this, Dalton Kincaid has done well. He's still young. We liked him too coming out.
Is Tucker first
Kraft was a third round pick. He's next in the 2023 class. He's next. He's only got 600 yards in a year and a half.
Yeah. I just think it's there's not a lot of difference makers at the position right now. I would call on, maybe if Dallas loses again, Jake Ferguson. He's got a good floor for the position. Maybe if the Jets keep stinking, Tyler Conklin, Colby Parkinson for the Rams. I mean, you're talking day three picks here for those kind of guys. Not a big needle movers, but somebody who can just make your offense more multiple from 12 personnel. And if this is a team that wants to lean into the run blocking, Scott, you better damn well have two tight ends who can run block. So that's something that right now we have not had. I mean, Atkins is a fine, useful piece as like an H-back, but you don't want him getting more than five offensive snaps a game. Really, his value is coming from special teams. So 5 to 10, maybe out there for Atkins. You want him as your third or fourth guy. But I digress. Panthers, Scott, we talked about already. The only, if Denver beats themselves, obviously they have a chance, but the only area of at all concern for me in this one is that Denver's defensive EPA per rush, not very good. They are 16th in, they're 12th in EPA per rush, but just 16th in success rate per rush, where Carolina 10th in rush and 16th in EPA per rush. So they've been successful running. Chuba Hubbard in that offensive line is definitely the best aspect of this team. And that's just the one area where Denver, schematically, they need to do what they can to take out the run game and make Andy Dalton in the pass game beat them. I do like Deontay Johnson. He sounds a little disgruntled out there. I'll be curious to see if he gets moved. I think like a team like the Chargers make a lot of sense for him. And I see people calling for Hunter Henry out here. There is no way the Patriots, I know that the Patriots are a bad team, but he is like the only thing that they have going for them with Drake May.
And they just signed him this year.
I think they re-signed him.
I looked him up before the show and it said signed to like $15 million guaranteed and it started in 2024.
Yeah, new deal.
So he carries like a $12 million dead cap hit too. So it's like we're trying to rebuild. We're not going to give away the guy we just signed for cheap. And, he's got a new contract. Let me put it that way. Yeah. He's got a new contract and a decent sized dead cap number for a tight end.
Yeah. I think that, with how Drake May is playing, and the utilization there, there's no way they can get rid of their only guy, in the pass game. So, I see Tucker Kraft. I loved him. Scott, I don't know if you remember, he was the one that I constantly mocked to Denver, with their first pick in 2023, and they end up trading for Marvin Mims, and Kraft comes off the board, I think, at pick 75, 76. And that, in hindsight, if we could have a redo, I'd be taking Tucker Kraft there and not trading up for Mims. But what can you do?
Why do we like having multiple picks? Because you got a chance to get a guy like this in the third round, 78th overall. Again, third round is, I'll say it one more time, then I'll be done with it for this show at least. Third round on a tight end is a premium pick. And he's on pace to double his production from last year. And he's already doubled his touchdowns. He's got four touchdowns this year, 265 yards receiving. He's 24 years old. It's a nice weapon to have.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good tight end class, Scott. I mean, you also had Darnell Washington come off the board in the third round in that one as well. I think Denver had goo-goo eyes for Luke Musgrave. He ended up going early mid second. So Denver didn't have a chance for him, but, I digress. Panthers, Scott, this is a horrific defense out there for the Panthers. And this is one where I don't know if they're just going to, quite frankly, give up tackling like we saw from the Saints this last week. I mean, that was a head and heart not in the game from midway through the second quarter on from the Saints. But this, I mean, we saw what Brian Robinson did, Marcus Mariota. This is a terrible defense for the Panthers as well. They are...
Real quick, while you're pausing,
yeah,
the three teams giving up the most yards in the NFL.
Who are the three teams giving up the most yards? I would go Panthers, Saints, Falcons.
It's Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers.
It's
Panthers, Saints. By comparison, Falcons defense looks like the four horsemen out there. So it's they're four. I couldn't believe when I saw that. I'm like, all right, I just tweeted, the NFC South got shellacked last week, including the Broncos putting it on the Saints. They're 30th, 31, and 32 in yards allowed. And the Panthers are giving up 35 points per game by scoring. That is worst by a touchdown. I mean, that's 7 points is massive on these types of charts. Like 31 in points against is Dallas at 28. And if you took a touchdown off of them, they'd be top 10. Yeah. That's how bad. You can't lose this game. Yeah, you can lose it. They're not going to beat you. Yeah. The Carolina Panthers will not beat you. Don't lose it.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting game for the Broncos, no doubt. Looking over the Broncos' stats, the only area where they are emphatically below average, one of the worst five teams in football, is the passing offense on the whole. Their Broncos passing EPA right now is 26th in the NFL. Their passing success rate is 29th. Everywhere else, I mean, they've been pretty darn good overall. Now, obviously, with the passing offense being as bad as it has for Denver, it has a trickle down on the overall offensive metrics, but really a good defense. They're only above average against the run. Scott, they're also only above average again on third and fourth down, but I think a lot of that has to do with Justin Herbert playing out of his bleeping mind, going, 13 for 18 on third down?
Worse than that. In the first half, it was 8 for 10.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that
80%,
was,
I think
you can't play quarterback
like
better than that.
Average. Like 33%, Nick, is like league average on third down. They were 8 for 10.
Yeah. Yeah, that was insane. So Denver's third down, third and fourth down defense, not tremendous, which is surprising for a team that's been as pass rush favored as Denver has. But overall, I think Denver will take care of business in this one. They lose this game if Bo Nix loses his mind and puts the ball in harm's way and does something. We've seen him put the ball in harm's way through the air. We haven't seen him put the ball on the ground as a runner yet. And also, Scott, this is a game where I know, given the success we had last week, people want to, and I understand why, but people will want the run design stuff from the quarterback. I'm really hoping this is a game where you don't have to do that. Keep those run design looks in your pocket. Run a little bit. Put more on Bo's plate. Early on, at least, you know, make him operate as a drop back passer. You don't want to make him, you know, ask him to be Patrick Mahomes back there, but have him work on some things out there. Don't just spam the we have to win this game. Let's have 10 run designs from the quarterback and put him in harm's way. No, make him operate in the pocket, make him get through his reads, use this as a growing opportunity, because I think your offensive line and run game, as well as your defense and special teams, are enough of a advantage that you can put more on Nix and live with the variance and potential pitfalls as long as he's protecting the football. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. Maybe that's me grossly overlooking an NFL opponent, but I don't think they need to show everything as far as Bo Nix and expose him as a runner in design too often.
Yeah, and again, the defense has been decimated, including, as Zach says, we get to play against Josie. Josie hasn't played since week 4. He got hurt. Derek Brown got injured, reserved, injured list, whatever you're calling it now, who's just a monster. Derek Brown's a phenomenal football player. Shaq Thompson's been out. Josie's been out. Don't know if Josie, Shaq and Derek definitely aren't coming back. Josie probably isn't. You know, again, we talk about it all the time. When you're winning, you seem to heal faster and get hurt less. You see how that works? Those kind of correlate a little bit, the competition out there. Otherwise, as Nick said, you know, they break the huddle, 1, 2, 3, Cabo, you know, let's go on vacation.
Cancun.
So he hasn't played. Are the Panthers in tank mode? Yes, absolutely. They're absolutely in tank mode. That doesn't mean that the guys on the field won't try mostly their hardest. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in this mode, you're a little less likely to put your body on the line. But yes, they are absolutely in tank mode, and you know, they get something out of it this time. They actually get the number one overall pick when they finish last this year.
Might be a race with a few teams though, Scott, but we'll see. We got to do a prediction before we get out of here. Now, I will say don't hold me to this one, because there was one versus the Chargers where I picked Denver to win. And then when I actually sent it into Chad, I picked Denver to lose. I just thought about it more. I'm like, they're going to take away the run and make Bo Nix beat them. And I'm going to which quarterback do I trust more?
That sounds like Chargers.
Yeah.
That was your Chargers prediction.
Yeah, I picked the Chargers to win.
Okay, I didn't hear which team you said
it was. Yeah, I picked the Broncos to win on here for that game, and then I'm like, I can't do it. I think the Chargers are going to take this one. So also coming off the bye week. But I'm going to take Denver to win this one. What the spread was 7.5. I believe it might be up to 9 now. So that's a money coming in on Denver. Andy Dalton had a car accident this week as well. He sounds like he's going to be fine, but that's just some weirdness to their preparation and season as well. Deontay Johnson's giving interviews saying like he can't do everything, play every position on the field. So, I mean, he's always been a little bit of a malcontent. Yeah, I think Denver's going to win this one pretty easily. I'm going to go with a garbage time touchdown for the Panthers in this one, but I'll go Denver 34-16.
Okay. I had a 31-9 Broncos, which would be the under. Broncos cover and the under. I feel better about the covering. I think they can win this one by two scores. Not easily, but this will be very similar to what you saw last week with a team that is checked out already for this season. And if you put it on them just a little bit, they'll fold. They'll fold and go home. And Sean Payton is ruthless, and he's starting to put that into the Denver Broncos, which really, was it Cam Jordan said when he can smell blood in the water? I'm like, yeah, he can. And that's the kind of killer instinct that just kills sorry to double pun there. You just kill teams like this when you've got that mentality. And this is a two-score win for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see. After that, it gets a lot tougher. The easiest stretch of the Broncos' schedule this season, probably, these four games. You lost one, but that's a terrible Saints team, and the Raiders pretty bad as well. Chargers good. Chargers feisty, and I know they lost against the Cardinals on the road, but God, man.
Did you see ESPN put out their power rankings without that game?
No.
They had the Chargers moving up, and they do theirs early. That's why they have blurbs instead of actually like, all right, they basically hit up their writers and say, all right, this is this week's theme. So that way they don't have to justify their rankings, which I like better. We moved this team up. This is why. So they have them out at like 7 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. Well, they moved the Cardinals down like two spots and moved the Chargers up like three spots when they published them. I'm like, you might want to wait till the end of the game before you hit publish on these.
Yeah. Yeah, that's we'll see what happens. Broncos in the thick of things. We got them winning this one. Chance to move to 5-3. A lot of fun. We got Michael Ronquillo says, great show today, Nick and Scott on Broncos for Breakfast. Go Bo Broncos. Go Broncos, go defense, go special teams. I just wrote an article, Scott, about how Denver's special teams is just absolutely dominating this season. Depending on what metrics you look at, they're either the second or third best special teams in football so far this season. So
if I can hit a sand wedge with the accuracy and bite that Riley Dixon has been punting, I'd golf more.
Yeah, he's been great. Will Lutz only missed a 50-yarder in the terrible weather of the Jet Stadium, which MetLife is notoriously one of the hardest kicking stadiums in football. And the coverage units have been great as well. Denver first in the NFL in defensive starting field position and third in the NFL in offensive starting field position. Some of that's turnovers, but a lot of that is the kicking game as well. So shout out to them. What's the name, Scott, of the special teams?
Kotwika. Michael tried to help you out last night and you still said like Kotwika.
Nope.
I can't do it. Movie. Gattaca.
That was a good movie. Yeah, that was a good one. Appreciate everyone coming in, hanging out with us today. Shout out to Troy Brewer, Lawrence Rivera, Mike Givens, $49.99. Man, Mike, hell yeah. Michael Ronquillo, Naj, of course, Miguel Santisteven, Diego Alonso, Keith Brugman as well. Did we get Keith's?
No, this wasn't stars. This just was a reminder to be like Keith. He likes to make his picks on Prize Picks on his Mint mobile phone while using his Manscaped Chairman Pros. So be careful with that. Be careful with that. Pay attention. More attention. Actually, both can be dangerous when you're making picks or grooming. So be careful with that, Keith.
Yeah. I mean, Keith definitely, he grooms. Look at that beard. Majestic. Make sure you guys are following Scott and I on Twitter. Scott's at Scout Kennedy. I'm at Nick Kendall, MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you're at Facebook.com, make sure you're following us at Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. If you haven't done so, head over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your shows after the fact. Leave us a 5-star review. A lot of good Broncos and sports content out there, but we always appreciate that if you take the time to do that. It really does help us. And please subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. The next time you guys see Scott and I will be hopefully a Victory Monday, next Monday morning. So until then, you guys stay out of trouble. Continue to choose kindness and compassion, and go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
morning, Broncos country.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.